G'day, this is Mark Rafferty, also known as Dr. Darcy Tyler on Neighbours.
Alan Fletcher here, aka Dr. Carl Kennedy from Neighbours.
It is Kim Valentine here, or Libby Kennedy from Neighbours.
It is Jason Cruz here, also known as Nicholas Atkins.
And you're listening to the award-winning Neighbourhood Rewatch podcast.
The best podcast in the entire world.
JK, Adam, thanks for taking me down memory lane.
You are the best UK Neighbours that anyone could ask for.
Welcome to the Neighbourhood Rewatch podcast. I am the host of sorts, JK. As always, I have my co-host with me, Adam.
All right.
We are an award-winning podcast that's just sometimes about Neighbours. We watch Neighbours on Amazon Freevee, episodes 9008 to 9011. And Neighbours celebrated its 39th birthday this week.
Happy birthday, Neighbours.
Yeah, happy birthday, Neighbours. 39 years. It's catching us up, isn't it?
Well, I mean, no. Well, like this, I hate when people say that. Catching us up? No, it's going to be the same period of time between those two events forever. That's how time works until we die. And then I suppose they could catch us up, but we'd be dead. So, do you know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah. What do you think? Who do you think is going to die first? Me, you, or Neighbours?
I'm going to kill myself if I have to keep doing these podcasts. To be fair. I don't know. Someone asked us this. We'll talk about what we've been up to because we've had a bit of a busy week, to be fair. So someone was asking me this. How long do you think you're going to keep doing it for? And I didn't know if they was kind of saying in that way, like, don't you think you should probably wrap this up? Or are you not sick of him yet? I wasn't sure the vibe of the question. I said, well, not forever, but at the moment, going quite well. So, you know, let's ride that train as long as we can. So,
yeah.
We're not stopping anytime soon, are we?
Not anytime soon, no. This has been a hell of a ride so far. And I know we always say that we're just getting started. We are just getting started. We have got some special stuff coming up. When we say keep an eye on the socials this weekend. Keep an eye on the socials this weekend. Something coming that is very, very cool indeed. No new patrons this week, which is a little bit unfortunate.
Fucking hell, come on, everyone.
I know.
Why should we join this Patreon thing? Because we have got quite a few. We were inundated with quite a few newbies, which is great. Thank you for joining us. Why should people get on board?
Because you get early access to this podcast.
Is that big a deal, though? Because you're not staying on for another 12 hours and, like, because you put it on at night, like, most people go to sleep. Like, is that really worth doing?
It is when we record Thursday morning, like we are doing right now.
Okay. So you get it a bit early.
This will be out before I go to work.
I'm already worried because I already know you're going to have to edit this, and I don't think you're going to now because you're going to leave for work and just go, oh, it's probably fine. And then I'll listen to it and it'll be shit. So apologies if it's shit, everyone. It's just because he couldn't be bothered editing it properly. There you go.
No, my editing skills are fantastic.
They're not. They're average at best. And then sometimes you miss complete things out and then you don't check it. That's the thing that I would say. It's not so much the editing, it's the lack of checking. And this is the problem. I've recently, in my other line of work, in my other job, done some assessments. And I always say to the people doing these assessments, just make sure you check, okay? We're not doing anything else after this, so just make sure you check. It'd be a shame for you if you don't check because, you know, you'll probably be kicking yourself afterwards. You might have missed something that's obvious. And also, you don't want to let anyone down. You don't want to let me down. You don't want to let your people at home down. And most of all, you don't want to let yourself down. That'd be a shame. And that is what I tell 7-year-olds, and they don't listen. It is nice to see that someone who is far older than that and just a bit older than Neighbours, it's nice to see that they don't listen either. It's a simple idea, and you're only hurting yourself if you don't do it. So there you go. Little lesson to start this week's show.
So yeah, unfortunately, no new Patreons this month. £1 a month will get you access, though, early access. You also get to see the video as well. So you get to see, yeah, that's pretty cool. And especially when we do stuff with stars from Neighbours as well, that is absolutely worth
especially money. when you see the stars of Neighbours, like we're average at best, especially on a Thursday morning. Mm. But the stars from Neighbours are very attractive people. They are worth getting the video for to see them in all their glory. Not all their glory. This isn't an OnlyFans kind of thing. but they are. You can get to see them and see them as themselves, not as the characters they portray, which I think is pretty cool. Also, I'm wearing a retro rewatch.
Yeah, Summerfest.
That might be a new thing. I'm wearing my Summerfest 2023 t-shirt from last summer, which was a big hit. So you can see our merch. Sometimes we wear it, not always. We're not sad bastards. We just sometimes wear it when we haven't done any washing. But that's Summerfest 2023. There might be a Summerfest 2024 in the works. Who knows? I want to talk about something else that's in the works. Sorry, we will get to like this week's episodes at some point, but you know what? If you've listened before, you know we chat shit for at least 20 minutes before we chat more shit about Neighbours. So I want to talk about some of the announcements this week on the socials. Not ours, on the Neighbours, because they dropped a bit of a trailer themselves. We are partial to a trailer, as everyone knows. Something's happening in Neighbours land.
Yes, something is happening in Neighbours land. Or, well, is that, would you cast that as Neighbours land, or is that...
It's like, I don't want to talk about this again because I didn't get it, but you know, like when Barbie comes to the real world.
I've still not seen that film.
Okay, you're not missing anything. Barbie comes to the real world and it's like, oh, what's going on? So that's what it's like. It's Neighbours coming to the real world. They're doing, we don't know exactly what it is, but they're doing some sort of shows, tour, live stuff. Excited.
Yeah, something very similar to the Celebration Tour that came around last year. And we're looking to do something in and around that as well, either in an official or unofficial capacity.
Well, I mean, don't drop that in case we don't end up doing it. But, like, yeah, the plan is to try and be official, and if not, we'll be unofficial. So we're probably going to see what it is first, because it might be shit. We might not want to be a part of it. but no, only joking, yeah. So that's exciting times. Whenever there's a Neighbours event or something going on, it's interesting. I want to talk about this as well. We mentioned it last time and we've been building up for a little bit. We went to a Home and Away live event.
We did. We
gathering
thing. Invaded the enemy.
We did. We enjoyed it. We had a lovely time over the weekend with Si and Sophie from the Coastal News Home and Away podcast, which if you listen to us for a while, you know we do crossovers and battles with them. There was no battling, was there? There was no battling at all.
No, not at all. It was a very nice time, indeed. We had lots and lots of fun, and it was great to meet listeners face-to-face as well. We really enjoyed that and get to interact with them and just talk absolute rubbish. We did talk some Home and Away. We did talk some Neighbours, and we did talk some absolute rubbish as well.
Very little Home and Away by me. a lot of rubbish from you. So yeah, it was a good time was had by all.
I did have 3 pints. So,
well, there you go. It's more than enough, isn't it? How's that affected your marathon running? Are you running a marathon?
I am. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up actually, because I don't think I mentioned that enough.
So how's that affected you? 3 pints on a weekend.
It wrote off my Sunday.
Good God, you are an absolute joke.
I know, I was a fucking mess, honestly. I got home, we were home for a lot, fairly respectable time, 9 o'clock-ish? Yeah. I was like, oh, we'll just, you know, watch some TV on the couch, and I fell asleep twice. And at midnight, Peyton was just like, just fucking go to bed. You're an absolute disgrace.
That is disgraceful behaviour. That's awful.
And I felt pretty horrible most of Sunday as well. I know.
Blame.
I know. Well, when your body's a temple like mine.
Well, this is it. If it actually was, I'd still wouldn't expect this. This is terrible. You would not be able to cope with any kind of street party for a convicted felon. You wouldn't be drinking or anything. You'd just be pottering around.
Yeah.
No. Disappointing from you. Not going to lie. Anything else we've got to talk about? Anything else we've got to do? Oh, yeah, sorry, shit. Okay, so back to the Patreon thing. If you're a Patreon, you haven't told them some of the other stuff you get. Sometimes we do bonus stuff, which is pretty cool. Sometimes you get included in a giveaway, because sometimes we do giveaways. We've done a couple, which is brilliant. We've given away a mug, give away a T-shirt. Well, I say we've given away a T-shirt. We're trying to give away this T-shirt. So last week, somebody won. Fucking brilliant. Was it last week?
The week before.
Week before, somebody won. Brilliant. Well done to that person. Then last week, we said, you haven't contacted us or anything. Let us know, because otherwise, I'm going to roll it over and someone else can win instead. So you've got a load of people now who are thinking, has that person claimed it? Is there a chance for me to win instead? Whatever. So I've just checked with you off air just to check to see if said winner had got in touch, and you said no. So I was like, oh shit, right, we're going to have to roll this over. So we've got a new winner. Then I asked, just very offhandedly, have you told them they've won? Which doesn't seem like a ridiculous comment when you think about it. I mean, I think that's a pretty standard question. When somebody wins, you have to tell them they've won. And you said, again, even more offhandedly than my question, well, no.
I don't want to spoil it for them. I don't want to. We are firmly anti-spoiler here at the Neighbourhood Rewatch. And
for the show, not for life-changing decisions and events.
So I just messaged Christine on the Patreon.
I wasn't saying a name, but there you go. Straight away.
Well, Christine, who's won, you know.
Christine
said, have you watched this week's episode? And I've not received a response yet. Because I didn't want to be like, oh, by the way, you've won. Because it kills all the suspense of watching it. I want Christine to watch it and go, won.
Yeah, so you asked this person, have you seen this week's episode? That, again, just makes you come across like an egotistical bastard who wants people to watch our shit. And not in any way does that even hint that they might have won the prize. It is ridiculous that you are just expecting people to... I'm not on my own, guys, right? This is absolutely fucking mental. If I won the Euro Millions and nobody fucking rang me or messaged me to say, oh, you know what, Adam, you've won the Euro Millions. Like, I might forget to check my numbers. If they just went, he ain't claimed it, so let's give the £110 million to someone else.
They do that on the lottery. If you don't claim it by a certain point, they just give it to charity.
A certain point? Like, years in advance. Like, and that's the lottery, where it's like millions of pounds. They need to kind of, they still tell the person they've won. Like, if they left me a voicemail and I never got back to them that said, you've won £110 million, then yeah, they probably would. But they wouldn't just never tell me in the hope that I watch this bullshit. Okay. She might not watch the show anyway. She might have just, for whatever reason, she might have thrown a pound in the pot and thought, oh, I'll try and win a T-shirt. She might not actually like watching our shit.
It's
fucking crazy. So just so you know, Christine, like, I'll message you off my own account because I'm not allowed to get the fucking proper one. I will message you myself, not just seeing what you had for your tea and what you're watching on telly. I will tell you that you've won an award. You've won the T-shirt. Because you have, Christine. Well done, you. And I would not want you to miss out. And I'm sure, even though other people are like, oh, I wouldn't mind winning that T-shirt, because they entered as well. I'm sure they, because they are, I don't know, what's the word? Human, they would be like, yeah, fair point, she won. Tell her she's won, bless her. Otherwise, it's a fucking scam. You might be ready to scam our listeners. You're already trying to get a pound a month out of them. I'm not. I want them to get what they deserve. Okay? Sorry this is a long rant, everyone. But once again, he's done something fucking ridiculous, and I feel like I need to make a point of showing you all.
Okay, well, I mean, I agree to disagree, but what I'm going to do then All right, Christine, your prize is safe. Whenever you want to get back to me.
No, again. No. You've completely missed the point again. Tell the girl she has fucking won the prize.
Christine, you have won.
No. She might not be watching this. Send the girl, or lady, a message that says, Christine, you might not have watched the episode, but guess what? You're the winner.
Okay, I'm going to do that right now.
Well, that's killing the momentum.
All right, babe. I'll do that once we've finished recording.
Do it when you finish this episode.
What I'm going to do then is let's organise another giveaway, shall we?
Fucking hell, I'm not making money.
It's come out of my bank account anyway.
Is it? Or is it coming out of the account that's all the Patreon do, which I'm entitled to half of? You know what? I'm even going to say probably 70-30 in my favour at this rate, because it's getting a bit silly now.
I'll organise another giveaway. Should we say for Easter? We'll do one over Easter.
Yeah,
that'd be a nice little giveaway for someone over Easter time. Well, I will get that organised. One last thing before we do get to Neighbours. Adam's going to hate this now because he's already in a mood now. Do you know how I like to tell people how to listen to this and where to watch it and stuff? I'm like, oh, I'll watch it in the bath and this, that and the other.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, well, it's not that weird because some people have been getting back to me and telling me where they've been listening to the
You've been getting back to you. Once again, I'm not entitled to these messages or anything, guys. For some reason, he commandeers the Instagram and the accounts, and then I am not privy to any of this. So you know when some of the messages you get back are probably a bit weird or pervy? It's not me. Like, it's him. Like, I'll just have a little joke or say, all right, cheers. That's how you know it's me, okay? If it's something a little bit off-putting or smog or just a bit dodgy that you're not sure whether you should tell someone about, it's him.
So anyway, well, these people have not been put off by letting me know where they've been listening to the podcast a week.
No,
so
they thought it was me. They thought it was me, but now they know it's you. You won't get more messages.
So where listeners have listened this week, somebody listened to us at the airport.
Where were they going?
On holiday.
Where to?
I don't know. I didn't know.
Again, this is a conversation. You just want to know. You want to know what benefits you. I want to interact. I want to talk to these people. Where are you going on holiday? I hope you have a nice time. Like, you're just like, oh, when have you listened to my voice?
And someone's also listening at Brighton Beach as well.
Okay.
If you want to send in your suggestions to our social medias, I run the Instagram. Adam runs the Twitter because I got banned off Twitter.
I do. I post more on Twitter, but again, it's only because I'm not allowed to go on the others.
I'm just trying to save you some work.
It's not work. It's fun. See, that's different. You're seeing this as work and a business. You're almost selling out already. It's a shame. Sorry, everyone. I'm trying my best for you.
So, yeah, if you want to let us know where you've listened to this week's episode, please let us know on the socials, the Neighbourhood Rewatch. Right, should we get into some Neighbours before Adam just fucking quits?
Well, the reason why I'm not in any rush to talk about Neighbours this week is because I haven't really enjoyed Neighbours this week.
Yeah, true. I mean, I've not enjoyed it. It's just been a bit of a markdown from the last couple of weeks.
I mean, I feel like I haven't said that for a little bit. There was a time when I was saying it every other week when I was going, oh, my God. But since the new stuff and for a while now, like, I've been really enjoying it. But I just feel like this week was a bit of a lull. I don't know if I've maybe, even just myself, I wasn't feeling it as much.
Yeah, but then there was enough stuff happening, I think.
Should we talk about some of that stuff?
We should just talk about some of that stuff right now. We'll talk about Chelsea first and that whole thing. So Paul is full of praise for Krista and the job that she did with the Lassiter's longest lie-in. And that puts Chelsea's face right out of fucking whack. She's got a fucking face on the entire week this week.
Well, it's the same face now. I feel like we're in danger of doing the same thing every episode where she looks miserable because Paul's talking to someone else. That seems to be the go-to at the minute for me.
Well, I don't think it's that he's talking to anybody else.
Well, he talks to Therese. She's not happy about it. He talks to Krista. Not happy about it. talks to Leo. She doesn't seem particularly happy about it. Like, each... I'm very quickly needing... I need something new. And I'm not keen on the way this is going this week, if I'm being honest. Not a fan.
Yeah, not a lot of the internet are not happy about this either.
Are they not?
No, they're not happy about it at all. So Krista pitches more ideas. She's like, oh, well, you love the Lion. I've got a box of ideas. And she pitches him to Chelsea, and Chelsea shits all over them. It's kind of like what I do off air to Ad. I'm like, oh, should we do this? And you go, nope.
Right, no, I don't appreciate that, because Chelsea is a clear bitch. And like, so I'm not being a bitch, I'm saving people. I don't feel like Chelsea is saving people. She's like that conniving bitch figure on the show. Also, how pregnant has Krista got all of a sudden?
Oh yeah, very pregnant.
She's well preggers this week. I'm sure she wasn't that pregnant last week. I know that's how it works. You get more pregnant as it goes on. But it was like, whoa, because in Neighbours Land, it's like 25 minutes later, isn't it, from last week. I was like, fucking hell, she's pregnant now then. They're going with it. And she goes to an ultrasound. We'll get to that.
Yeah, she just goes to the ultrasound. And her and Leo have a nice kind of little moment there, which is cute. Did she find out the sex? I completely forgot that. Is it a girl? Oh, that's nice.
Paying attention?
No, I wasn't paying attention. Chelsea hates all these ideas, but she does steal one of them, and she thinks, right, I'm going to pitch that one to Paul myself. But Paul is, I think the thing that's really putting Chelsea's face out of place is that Paul started to do stuff for himself again.
Yeah.
She had him for a good couple of weeks where he was pretty much an invalid and wasn't really capable of doing anything. But now he's feeling a little bit, you know, he's not in his dressing gown anymore. He's back in his suit. He's starting to do things a little bit more, and he's starting to make steps out to being the old Paul again and get over these things.
That's been good to see. Because,
yeah, that has been good to see.
Because I can't stand Chelsea. She like, and I'm glad that's what Paul is doing. And he's like, she says a few things and he's like, no, you don't need to know about that. Or, yeah, what have you done that for? No, Krista can deal with that. He is putting his foot down and, like you say, the old Paul, which is great. She is still weaseling her way in the seductive sense.
Mm-hmm.
And there is, and it's not just to keep him on side, it is with an ulterior motive as well. And this is the ulterior motive that I am not really behind.
She is starting to lose control of him. So she's desperately trying to think of ways to gain back that control. She was, like I said, she stole that idea from Krista and realized pretty instantly that was a shit idea and she's not going to win back control that way.
What else what other idea has she stolen from Krista? That's what it is.
Yeah, that one. She's like, fucking hell, she looks pretty pregnant. And, you know, Leo's basically sticking with it now. Through
he
this,
and he's dopes over her. That's the thing. She sees him like, wow, they're stronger than ever. And look at these two. I'll have a bit of that, please.
Yeah. So, like you said, you know, she uses her feminine wiles quite a bit to win Paul over with stuff. So she's been doing that. That's a go to. But she's decided now not to take her pill.
Yeah,
this is a big ick, isn't it? It's a big ick. Like I said, a lot of online were not happy about this at all, and rightfully so as well. This is a terrible thing to do.
Well, then you're not supposed to like it because she's a bad guy. This is what people, I've said it before, I'll say it again. People forget this. I don't like Chelsea, and I'm not supposed to like Chelsea. I am playing the game perfectly on what you're supposed to do when you're watching Neighbours. If you don't like someone, it's because they're making you not like them. So, well done. Like, she's playing it well. It's really good because I can't stand her. That's the whole point. People need to remember that. We were speaking to somebody fairly recently involved with the Neighbours, and they were saying how they know that, like, sometimes the fans can't always
separate the two.
Separate, disassociate the character from the actual person. So that's only a few people. Like, obviously, most of you guys who listen and watch this, you get it. It's acting. It's a TV program. But some people just sometimes get a bit carried away. And if Twitter, which I'm in charge of, by the way, has shown me nothing else, it's that on that social platform, people get a little bit carried away. So just chill out a little bit. And just because you tweet something and you think it's good to tweet it, doesn't mean anyone else really thinks it is. A lot of the tweets might be bullshit. So have a little think before you tweet them. That's lesson two for this week.
So, yeah, Chelsea's getting very desperate at this point. I think this is she's turned into last resorts at this point. I don't know if it was a spur of the moment or this was just always the kind of break glass and emergency idea that she had.
No, you're just giving Chelsea far too much credit.
Yeah, maybe. Oh, because she does witness Leo and Krista in the cafe. I think that's maybe what's going on. Yeah. On this as well, we do get a nice little scene between Paul and Mel. Moving on to the Toadie and Teray stuff. Paul is kind of... Well, he tells Chelsea in the steam room, he's like, we're having fun. And she's like, well, is that all this is for you? He's like, well, don't underestimate fun. Fun's fucking great. My son died a couple of weeks ago. It's nice to have some fun. You know, we could all fucking go at any moment.
It was only a couple of weeks ago, and he's having a lot of fun very quickly after his son died. I mean, shagging in the sauna is great. I don't, you know what, I was going to say that sounds like fun. It doesn't. I've never done that. I don't want to particularly because it's too hot in there. Like,
it is too hot. I won't be able to
breathe or anything.
Yeah, I can't spend more than 3 minutes in a sauna. I mean, which timing-wise would work out quite nicely for me if I were to do other things in there, but...
Yeah, you'd have a bit of time to spare. Take a book or something.
But yeah, I'm rubbish at saunas, so I would not enjoy that at all.
No, it's too hot. I wouldn't really be enjoying that, I don't think. But yeah, and she's not keen on the just for fun at this stage. He says, I'll tell Therese I'm with you if that'll make you feel better. And she kind of says, yeah, that would. But she wants a lot more than he wants at the moment because there's still stuff with the will. That's what she's trying to do as well. Yeah. She's trying to con him out. She's trying to get her name on the will, isn't she? That's the whole point. She is trying to get a clause into him that way. And then that is the precursor, I think, for her trying to kill him in about 6 months' time.
Yeah, that really is the break glass and emergency thing, isn't it? Just fucking, just changing the will without him knowing.
Name on the will, push him off the roof.
Yeah, I think that's a very sensible thing where it could be going. And Paul's also quite open to the idea, because he's kind of pushing Mel, going, you know, to go for Toadie a little bit. Because he's like, that does kind of free up Therese for me, and if I do want to go down that route in the future, it could be there for me. He's kind of like blasé about it. He's like, if it's meant to be, it's meant to be, but...
I thought that was quite interesting because I thought he'd just go, no, I'm with Chelsea, or no, Therese has moved on or whatever. But he did kind of leave the door open for it, which I think a lot of people jumped on as well. They were like, oh, okay, yeah, good. They should get back together. At the moment, it's the start of the week, first couple of days anyway, was Therese and Toadie, wasn't it? The fallout from whatever happened last time, I can't remember. Hugo was in the boot.
Yeah, Hugo was in the boot.
He got out of the boot, and Therese said, just because Hugo's been in a boot doesn't mean I'm coming back to the house. And she moved into the hotel. Paul got her a room. She's having some time. She's having some space. Toadie wants her back. Nelly's trying to help without really helping. But I quite liked Nell. She was kind of like someone who's desperate for these two people together, probably feels a bit guilty that she was fucking it up at the beginning. And again, being more of an adult than a lot of the adults on this show, I think.
Yeah, and I think as well, she doesn't, because she's very protective of Hugo, she doesn't want her world to be fucking thrown up again. Like, they've literally went through that a year ago when Mel fucked off. And everything was unstable and they've just about started piecing things back together and for it to all be fucking thrown back up in the air again. And like, kids need stability. That's to prosper in those early years. Kids need stability.
What an oddly serious thing to say during this ridiculous podcast that's sometimes it's about neighbours. I'm not disputing it. I completely agree. You just said it in such a serious way, like you were doing a TED Talk or something. It's odd.
I'd love to do a TED Talk one day.
No one would. No. No one wants it. No one. What would it be about?
I don't know. I mean, I could talk about many things.
I don't think you could. I don't think you would actually... You could probably open your mouth to a lot of things, but not actually say anything. I can't imagine what your TED Talk would be about.
I mean, I could do one about parenting.
Okay.
I think a parenting one I could do. But that's not really business in it. TED is quite business talks, isn't it?
Yeah, but the children are our future.
They are. Getting children into business. Boss babies.
It sounds like you're running a fucking Korean sweatshop. That makes keep those jumpers for you.
Keep those overheads low.
Well, they're only small, so you only need low ceilings, don't you?
Exactly.
Go on.
Therese is unsure that she can trust her. She tells Paul that, and then when they kind of finally meet up to talk, as a little side note, sorry, I can't understand how fucking big Therese's house is.
It's massive, isn't it?
It's like it's two separate houses, because they walk in and then they've got the lounge room and the kitchen with the fucking washing machine up on the top shelf, which is weird. And then sometimes there's a whole other fucking house. I don't understand where do you walk through to get to that other fucking bit?
It's a big open plan house, isn't it? And then the reason why I reckon you noticed it this week, because they filmed in a different way this week. You could tell when they were in the house, they were doing it in a different way, and they did some stuff outside, which isn't all outside because it's got like this patio bit. It's a massive house. But then even when they later on, when we go to the Rodwell's house, that house is fucking massive as well. Like, some of the houses here are ridiculous. But then, like, the older ones, like Carl and Susan's house, is still more or less the same sort of dynamic, I think. But, yeah, Therese's house is massive. At the moment, she is at the hotel, obviously, and Paul says maybe you should get away, go and see some characters that I don't really know, in Adelaide. And she's umming and ahhing about going there to get some more space. Meanwhile, then, Tony and the kids are going to be... She said you can stay at the house for a bit, but it's Therese's house. He sold his house to the Vagamurphys at the start of the reboot, and now he lives there, but he's going to have to leave. And at one point, when he's kind of having a bit of a breakdown outside Lasseter's, Mac tells him, you need to get the fuck out of the house, which I didn't think was like particularly helpful from Mac, if I'm being honest. I kind of thought, you work for him. Who do you think you are with your fucking advice and your know-it-all holier-than-thou attitude again? She does that a lot.
Yeah,
she does it quite a few times this week.
But I think she's right in the fact that he can't just keep on living there. He does need to change that situation at some point.
But they've not officially broke up yet.
No, true.
I mean, if she says, get the fuck out, of course, leave. But if she said, stay there for now, and she hasn't fully shit all over a reunion?
No, I don't think she's convinced at all.
No. I mean, it's probably more that like the way that she will leave than stay, but it hasn't been confirmed. So at this stage, to have like your fucking assistant telling you to move out and take your two kids with you, what? No. Chill out, man.
So yeah, Therese decides that she's going to go visit Roxy in Adelaide. But Toady, last minute, writes her a letter. And he's like, listen, I'm going back to the campsite where we had our first kiss. If you think there's any chance for us to get back together, I'd love to see you there. And I actually did, even though the episodes weren't as great this week, I did like, there was two cliffhangers this week where I thought, I actually don't know what's going to happen next. Because Nell hands the letter to... Adam's disagreeing with that.
Go on, sorry.
Because Nell hands the letter to Therese and goes, oh, he's wrote you this.
That bit
and she
felt
reads
like
it.
Something had been cut, or they did some, like something might have got edited out of that. Because like Therese is coming home, I think she's packing a bag or whatever, and Nell says, oh, have you read the letter? And she's like, what letter? And then it's just on the floor. It was almost as if like they'd cut out a bit where for some reason the letter gets almost gets lost, and you're supposed to think, oh shit, she's never going to see the letter and she's going to go. But then, like, so there was no reason for Nell to go, have you read the letter? Therese to go, no. And then Nell to go, here's the letter. It was so shit. It was, I think something got cut out there because it didn't really make sense. But that wasn't why I hated it. Carry on.
No, I generally, so the episode ends and Therese is kind of really late and she looks like she's about to go. And then she just kind of pauses and then Toadie's all got everything set up. And you're like, I generally didn't know which way it was going to go.
I knew she wasn't going to that tent.
See, I don't know, because sometimes, you know how Neighbours loves to wrap up a storyline nice and quickly. Like, they could have easily gone, yeah, do you know what? She's forgiven him. They'll remember their first kiss and everything will be fine again. And
no, they can't keep
They could have easily gone that way.
They've done it too many times without with no progression in the story where she's gone, oh, okay. Like, it's crap. So, honestly, for no second whatsoever did I think she's going to that campsite. It made no sense for her to go back again. And the whole, like, the thing had to be, I wasn't expecting what happened next, but it had to be that, no, she's going to have to go. Otherwise, we are never getting off this fucking merry-go-round. Talking of merry-go-rounds, I thought we were going to get Toadie, like, full. Like, we had a bit of a breakdown. We've had a bit of that, and he did that one with Mac. At one point, were we supposed to think that him and Mac were going to get it on? They were dangerously close to each other's face.
Yeah, they really
weird. And this, I didn't like this either. So they were so close. Like, you know when someone talks to you, but a little bit too close, and you're a little bit stand. You want to, but they were right there, and I thought, is he? I didn't like it.
Is he going to make a really clumsy move just because he's just so fucking desperate for any sort of attention?
And completely hammer home the fact that he is now the villain of the show and everyone hates him. But then, he started stroking her arm at one point. It was weird. Like, go back and watch it.
I don't think I want him.
Say this, like, we chatted to, as I say, the Home and Away crew. They are doing a lot more work than us. They are watching. So what they do is they watch the episodes and make notes on said episodes. Then they watch them and do a live tweet along thing on Twitter. And then they watch them again just for themselves. They were saying that they probably spend 10 hours a week watching their show's episodes. We're one then done, right? We're not going back over this shit. Unless something particularly hilarious has happened or something like, whoa, hang on. We're not going back, are we?
No, that is commitment, that. That really is.
Yeah.
To be honest, I barely pay attention while I'm listening.
Well, this is
watching the first time round.
Yeah, you don't make it once through. But, but I would like you, if possible, to go back and watch that scene. Because he starts stroking her arm and it's really weird.
That is weird. Toadie is a man on the edge.
So I thought we were going to get Toadie on the edge for the next few weeks while Therese is away. And then something might happen. And maybe Mel would go, oh, after that chat with Paul, I might stick my head back in and have another go or whatever. Yeah. But no, they've come up with a way of Toadie needing some space as well, because Callum gives him a call.
Mm-hmm.
For like a little chat, you know. So he's the older son. He's giving him a chat. He's seeing how he is and everything. Nice. Don't mind that at all. I didn't know Callum lived in America. Didn't know that. So that was interesting. Brilliant. He's giving him a call from America. And then he says, come to America. And then within the next 4 minutes,
they're in America.
They're in America.
They're
jumping in the taxi. All their bags are packed. Toadie's, they've sacked off school. Toadie is still in his work clothes from that morning. He never even went to work. And they're jumping in the taxi to go to Disneyland. What the fuck?
Yeah, I mean, if you're having a breakdown, I think probably the best place to go is Disneyland. I think that would sort you right out.
It's such a happy place and it is great fun. But I just thought the abruptness of this was I don't know, the kind of neighbours that I don't like. When it's just like, oh, what should we do? Don't know, Disneyland? It felt like
and
that.
And they even drew attention to some of the plot holes here. Because Toadie's like, I don't think you could just leave school in the middle of term.
Yeah.
And they went, nah, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it, it's fine. Like, if you're going to brush over it, just don't mention it in the first place.
So it's so weird that they do, when they do stuff like that, it's like they book themselves into the corner and go, Disneyland, you've got to get them. But and then I wouldn't be surprised if, like, Teresa's gone to Adelaide to see the family. Like, you, that's a couple of weeks, isn't it?
Yeah, if you're going that far.
Yeah.
Especially to USA, you're not going to Disneyland for the weekend.
Well, Teresa's still in Australia, but it's still
a long way.
She's gone to see family. She's not just going for a day and then coming back. So if she's gone
at least
to visit
a week,
family
right?
and get space for two, like, say it's 2 weeks in like real time, that's probably a month in Neighbours Land.
Yeah.
I think, because of how things work. So that is a long time. I would, and then Toadie the same. He's going to do 2 weeks at Disneyland. And they might come back around about the same time. But I would not be surprised if both of them are back by the end of next week.
Yeah, by Tuesday, mid-Tuesday. You're going, oh, Toadie's back. I was Disneyland. Fucking brilliant.
I don't know why they do stuff like that. It's shit.
Yeah, it takes you out of it a bit, doesn't it, as well? We have skipped over the fact that the person who does show up at the campsite is Mel. Which, again, I wasn't expecting. I was like, oh, okay, this... like, because he had that weird scene with Mac as well. I was like, oh, he's going to bang Mel again, isn't he? He's going to do it again. He's going to make him... He's just so starved of any sort of... Well, he's not starved of tension. He's got two women throwing themselves at him.
Neither of them should be, though.
Yeah.
This is what's the worst... I think this is the worst part of it and why people really are... either fed up with it or not liking it, is because it doesn't make sense that either of these, it's gone on for too long anyway, but these two women who, Therese, high-powered businesswoman, knows what she wants, clued up, would never go there anyway. She certainly wouldn't go fucking camping. Fuck off.
Oh.
But then Mel, we've already gone through a couple of times Mel getting her power back and being more independent, and then we just keep retracing our steps, and now she's going back again. So even now, Nell mentions that Toadie's at the campsite. So Mel, like, as soon as Nell mentioned that, it was like, fucking hell, she's going to go. Like, and then she does. And he's like, all right, told you I didn't want you. Remember, you slapped me in the face. And then she's like, it's a shame. And she sits down and has a hot dog or whatever, and then all of a sudden they're back again, and like,
yeah, it did. At least it did draw a line under it, because Mel
has
is
it, though?
No, because Melon is telling Holly, like, listen, when he saw it was me, he was fucking gutted. I know now.
We all were.
I think as much as it was kind of dragged out, it does draw that line under it.
Mel is
not interested in Toadie anymore. Knows it's going nowhere. It's done. It's finished with. And I was just kind of grateful for that by the end of it, really. And I like the fact that then... I don't know. I like how Mel and Holly have bonded over the last couple of weeks. Their little interactions together have been quite fun, I think. And we'll get to a little bit more of that later on. Should we talk about Haz, another character we're not particularly keen on?
Yeah.
First of all, do we like him more or less by the end of this week than we did last week?
I'm not blaming Haz for this week. I am blaming the people who have created this character and continue to write for this character.
So what's happened this week? Mac has entered Haz into a competition without him knowing.
Fucking Mac again, sticking a fucking oar in. Fuck off.
Do you know what? I liked this because old school neighbours used to do this. all of a sudden there'd be a big competition. That was apparently like a big deal and was a yearly thing. You never heard of it before. You will never hear it once it's done. But there's all of a sudden a big competition that is dead important. That person wins out of nowhere.
It's like us when the neighbor wars come around every year.
Which we do win every year.
Again, I didn't say that. You just come across as smug. I don't want to win next year. I want someone else to win.
See, that sounds more smug than what I said.
No, I want someone else to be recognised because people are putting in a lot of work. People are watching the episodes like 3 times and doing 10 hours of prep. We've just turned up, like, and I'm voting for other people next year. And I don't need you being a cunt about it for a month.
Fair enough. So Haz has won this competition and he's not happy about it first, but then kind of talks it over with Mac and he's like, oh, thank you. That was a really nice thing. And they say, I love you to each other as well. And you're like, that's horrible.
I don't mind it because I feel like I don't really like either of them and they're both really geeky, aren't they? So I think you had to put these two people together because they wouldn't work with anybody else. There'd be no like intrigue or anything with anybody else because they're the kind of people that those people would be with.
Yeah.
So you might as well put them both together and then the rest of the world don't have to worry about them.
Yeah.
Which sounds awful, but there you go.
So they're having a nice little kind of picnic together.
We went to a wedding, and I think you even said when you find somebody as weird as you, like, or as geeky as you, then you find each other and then you call that love. I think that's what's happened with these two. And it's also a bit weird that one of them clearly makes a lot more money than the other one, and the other one really likes coffee. Now, if I didn't know better, I'd think that these two characters were based on two real life characters that we know. Because when you stop and think about it, they are very similar.
Oh, God.
Haz wears weird socks as well, doesn't he?
He does, yeah.
It's very similar.
Well, while they're having their nice little picnic together,
they have a lot of jam at the picnic.
Yeah.
There's a lot of jam. He brings like 6 different jars of jam to this picnic. That's a lot of jam.
That is a lot of jam. What's your favourite jam?
I mean, it's a good question. Well, it's not a good question. It's a question, though. I'll go strawberry just because it's classic. But I do like a raspberry as well. I don't usually dabble in like the darker jams. What about yourself?
No, I'm not a darker jam. I'm not like a dark fruit jam. I fucking love apricot jam, though. That is the...
Okay.
For me, that
I would never...
That what is the best jam.
What are your thoughts on marmalade? On.
Yeah, I love marmalade. Oh, I always had marmalade when I was a kid. Marmalade on toast with the stringy bits.
See, I don't like the shreds. Shredless for me, please. And I never used to have it. My mum and dad used to have it a lot, and I used to always have jam, and my brother used to have jam. But then, see, you might have had a more discerning palate as a youngster. I didn't really start liking marmalade till I was a little bit older. So, there you go. I mean, it's just... Why don't they call it orange jam?
That is a good point. I don't know. Maybe there's a technicality with it. Maybe it's technically not jam.
Maybe not. It's a bit more jelly, isn't it?
Yeah, potentially. I don't know. I'll do some research afterwards.
Please do, because we all want to know.
I have an inquisitive mind, and I like to know these kind of things.
I know. Sometimes I think I'm not asked.
You're okay without knowing it.
Yeah. Fine.
Just letting it be.
But there's life's mysteries. Some questions aren't meant to be answered, are they? Do you know what I mean? You want to know all the answers.
Yeah, true.
This is what happens at my other job. People say why a lot or what a lot, and they ask so many questions. I read that in my other job, like not me, but like people who do that job, they get asked so many questions or they have to make so many decisions, but the answer is 10,000. So it's either you get asked 10,000 questions a day or you have to make 10,000 minor decisions a day. I think it's more the decisions one. Well, that's a lot, isn't it? That's crazy. Yeah.
That is crazy.
That's why my head is fucked and I don't want to know about jams and jellies after the event.
So, yeah, while they're sampling all these 10,000 jams,
yep.
Max says, I feel like we're being watched. Yeah. And like, you don't need to signpost things, something that's going to happen next. You could just have the scene and then the next scene be a bit of a surprise.
So for me, like, so they show it, don't they? Like, it's behind the tree.
Yeah.
And it's in the, like, but I was like, when I was watching it, I was like, I hope they're not doing that, somebody's watching them. I hope it's just like a different camera shot. Because they've been doing that on Neighbours, haven't they? They've been doing different shots and ways of shooting things and that, which I quite like. It's good for the most part. This one, I was like, I hope they're just, this is where they're filming it from. And then she says, I feel like there's someone watching me. And I was like, fucking hell. Oh.
Yeah, and then it was quite clumsy. And then you see him the next morning and they're off to work and like, love you, love you. And then like the really slow down has putting the key in the door and turning it. I'm like, well, there's obviously going to be see something on the other side of this.
What did you think was going to be on the other side?
I did think it was going to be smashed up. That was did my you? First. Yeah, that was my first thing. So I was like, well, this is going to get smashed up, this place, isn't it?
See, I went bigger. I thought it was going to be one of them. When he turns the key in the lock, it blew up. I thought it was going to be like mafia hit style and they were going to blow everything up. Because we've said a few times, haven't we? Nothing's blown up yet.
No.
I thought that's what it was going to be. Because every, like you said, it was key in the lock. I thought it was going to go... Mac was going to go flying because she's walked off. I thought it was going to be that. And it was just like someone had broke some of his coffee cups and like... thrown his beans.
Did it proper smash the place up?
Do you think? I thought a lot of it was aesthetic. I didn't think it was that bad.
Nah, it was a good, like, if you're going to smash up a cafe, I think they did a good job. They should have done the drinks fridge, though. That was somehow still intact. Like, it's thirsty work smashing up a place, so I'd have at least grabbed a Coke while I was doing it.
Gotta get in, gotta get out. You don't want to be spotted by any CCTV, do you?
Indeed. So, yeah, the place has been smashed up, and Hazzy's like, no!
Yeah, and it didn't seem like a genuine cry of no to me.
No, it seemed a bit fake.
Did.
And then he kind of gets down on his knees. There's some dramatic music. I'm like, they're really overselling.
Why, God?
Why?
Why? They were really, me, not my beans.
And they really oversold the dramaticness of this, I think. But it was really nice how the whole community, or the people who were on set that day, and he hasn't really got other storylines going on as well quite right now, came together to help fix this. So they sweep up, Aaron's there, Nicolette's there, Remy and Cara are there. Cara's fucking getting the coffee machine working again.
She's fucking MVP of this. She's sorting all sorts of shit out.
I mean, getting the coffee machine working. Fucking brilliant. You can open again.
I would have liked a musical montage of them all like working together, like a chirpy tune, a we can fix it, yes we can kind of tune, and everybody coming together, high-fiving, maybe someone like bent over and you see the crack of their ass and dropping a pencil in it, just like good times while you're fixing stuff.
Yeah, would you like that to be Aaron as well?
I mean, ideally, that's who you want. I'd want somebody like with a big piece of wood going, whoop, whoop. One of them, that, but yeah, to me, to you, all that kind of shit. turns out, yeah, you said it was really smashed up and completely fucked. They'd fixed it in about 18 minutes or something. It was completely sorted, ready to open, good to go. Let's take a selfie, kind of fixed, done.
Many, many hands make light work.
Very well, yeah, true.
I think I don't know who organized them all, but it was very well delegated. Everybody knew what they were doing and it all came together very nicely and very quickly. And then they all take a little selfie. I don't think Jane deserved to be in that photo.
What did she do? She went and got the bruise or something.
Yeah, she got the bruise. I mean, I don't think that's important enough to... She should be taking the picture there.
Yeah, she should.
It shouldn't be a selfie. It should be going, right, okay, I'll take the picture of this because I've just got the bruise.
I should be
at school doing my actual job, but I've decided to do this instead. Also, she's then brought bruise from another rival cafe.
I don't think she did go to get bruised. I think she did something else. I was just, like, picking something ridiculous. I don't know what she actually did. But they started it out. which is great. Haz is very, very pleased, and he's very thankful to everyone for sorting all this shit out. Because he won this award, he's getting it tomorrow. Like, there's no... Again, this is why I've not enjoyed it this week. It's gone back to the old Neighbours trope of, we'll just sort it out in the very next scene. And they haven't been doing that as much. But it always winds me up. And they've done it again. Haz, you've been nominated for this award. You've won the award. You're getting it tomorrow. She's coming. Fucking hell.
But she literally, it's not even like a photo, what? She literally just goes, it's a certificate.
Yeah.
It's not like, there's no local press there or anything.
No.
Like, yeah, Erinsborough News isn't there.
No. She gets the certificate.
So Haz is back home. He's had a tough day.
Yeah.
Mac's busy doing stuff, and he gets a message, and he looks at it as it says, "I know who you are," and he looks a bit confused, and he plays the video, and I mean, the second he started playing the video, I went, "This is going to be hard, smashing the place up."
Oh, really?
Yeah, like I guess that straight away, but I genuinely didn't know where this was going after that fact, and I really like that cliffhanger this week. It's just like, well, where is this going?
So what did you think? So, I mean, as it went on, I mean, I don't like, there's one that I think would work, but it's the most normal. The others are just,
yeah.
Like, and we like a lot of Neighbours ridiculousness, but then sometimes I think, what? Like, I thought, so when we see it's him who smashed it up, I'm thinking, right, maybe some sort of money problems, insurance job. He's doing it for the insurance. And that kind of comes out a little bit because he doesn't want he's about him putting in the claim. And then it comes out that turns out he's got the fully comp, whatever insurance. So it means he might actually make some money off the back of it. So that kind of, for me, that was what it was going to be. He maybe got a bit of money problems on the side. So he needed to do this. He needed to smash up the thing he loves to get the money. Would have been okay with that. However, the internet and then the way some of the other dialogue goes, it kind of feels like that's not what they're doing. What did you think was going to happen? What do you think is going to happen?
Well, in that initial thing, when you see it, it's hard. You're like, oh, fuck. Like, is this guy like just a fucking, is it an insurance job? Like, quite a few things are swimming through. Is it an insurance job? Is he just a fucking psychopath and just... like, because he won an award, he didn't feel like he earned it, so he had to punish himself. Is he that kind of weirdo? Is he into that kind of thing? Does he, like, fucking sleepwalk and just smash places up in his spare time? Like, I thought, there's loads of different ways this could go, and I really like that. I like the possibilities of that. As the episodes kind of wear on, they kind of start dropping hints, and I don't know if they're dropping hints to just go, oh, well, it's not going to be that then. Like they say, the insurance thing, and he goes, oh, you could be better off here. And I think, well, okay, maybe they're saying that now to eliminate that.
Yeah, okay.
And then they say the thing about, oh, you've got a brother? And Max's like, you never mentioned a brother. What's he like? And people go, oh, some people say he's just like me. And I'm going, well, they're maybe just trolling us with that now. It's not going to be an evil twin.
So, I am hoping that you are right. And I never say that. it sounded weird to even say it. But no, I hope it's not an evil twin brother. I'd be so disappointed in him if it was an evil twin. We've had it. We've done it. We've only just lost. I know he wasn't evil, but we've just lost a twin. I don't want another twin coming in and being an evil twin. That would be... I hope they are just doing that. But then when we've obviously had the is somebody watching me kind of thing as well.
Yeah.
And so we've had that. And like you say, the chat about, oh, I've got a brother, but and he's very vague about his family.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would prefer it to be one of those things that you were kind of saying there where it's him and maybe he doesn't realize he's doing it. Or I would take, at this stage, split personality over evil twin.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. I like, honestly, I'm hoping it's a complete bad guy turn. They've just gone, listen, we've tried to redeem this guy. We fucking can't. Let's just make him a complete dick. Let's have him be horrible, a psychopath, and just go down there. Just fucking roll with it.
I think, yeah. Mate, I don't know, though. I'm worried that with that they are just... They feel like they need a villain. I mean, you need, like, antagonists in the story for the drama and that, but we had Eden, we've got Slade, we've got Chelsea, who's a different kind, obviously a female kind of way of doing it, with her own things going on. We've got Felix. Do we need another one? Like, that's a lot of villains, literally, one in, one out, one in, one out. I don't know if I'd really care if it was just... He's a dick, and then Mac doesn't know he's a psycho, and then she gets kidnapped, and then if they did just something with that, I'm not really behind that. I don't know. I feel like if we find out more about him having just some sort of problems, or he doesn't know he's doing it, then that's better than full on this guy's baddie. I don't know.
Maybe. Well, the thing that clouds this is that Neighbours have told us his older sister's coming.
Yeah, not his older brother.
No, his older sister. So we know there's going to be some sort of family stuff, and I feel like this is very imminent now. This is going to be in the next week or two.
Yeah.
So, it could be. It could be that, yeah, maybe he does have these kind of episodes, and then his sister has to come and kind of help him work through that and get him back on his meds or whatever it needs to be. And
yeah. This sounds silly and obvious to say, but I hope it's good. And like, as I say, we don't mind. We like a bit of the silliness. We love Hugo getting put in the boo and the longest lying. We like silliness because it's part of Neighbours, it's part of fun. But I don't always like it when it's just so ridiculous that it just doesn't make sense at all. Like, I don't like it when it's like that.
Yeah, but it's kind of past the realms of believability.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed. With you on that one. We are hopeful, aren't we? We'll always be hopeful. I'm not sounding exactly hopeful there, but I am.
No, like I said, the two cliffhangers this week, I was really excited about just the possibilities because there was four or five different options there for like is Therese going to show up, and then this whole thing with Haz as well. I was like, I just really like the possibilities this week of different and it going different ways than you expect. And that's going to bring us on to the last storyline today, which is the Felix, because I liked some of this was quite predictable, but there was just one thing that I wasn't expecting, and it just puts a different little shade on it, which I really, really loved. So Felix is feeling pretty down about himself, and his kind of whole upbringing, really. He's very expressive to Andy at the start of this week about how hard it was for him growing up, how much he's... parents expected him to be a complete screw-up, and it was almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy of that. And he starts... That upsets Andy. Andy's kind of like, fuck, I should have clicked more on that when I was growing up, really. I was kind of the golden child. And he has to work through some stuff as well, which I quite liked, and he talks about it with Wendy. Felix starts distancing himself from JJ as well, because JJ really looks up to him. And he's like, he knows in himself that he's not someone to look up to. No, he's not anybody's hero. He's not anybody's idol.
Out of the two of them, Andy Rodwell is a role model, isn't he? Felix is not someone that people should be aspiring to be at this stage.
Mm-hmm. But Wendy is still plumbing on with the party for him. He's welcome to Erinsborough, welcome to Ramsey Street party. And this was the bit that I really liked that was not expecting to come was... Andy puts his foot in it here because Holly's like, oh, there's a party. Fucking brilliant. I can't wait to be there. And Wendy's like, oh, fuck, you're not invited. And Holly's like, well, I'm fucking coming to this party. I've just seen Felix. I just bought him a fucking coffee. He's fucking well hot. And he's been in prison.
He likes a bad boy even more than we do.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's true. I think if you insert Holly Hyland into any storyline, it just makes it 10 times better instantly. Okay. And the fact that Holly's like, oh, I want a piece of this guy, just inserts an unknown element into this otherwise fairly predictable story, I think.
Do you think it will? There will be that much to it with Holly, though.
I really hope so. She's got nothing else going on at the moment. And I think it'd be a nice... Like, she's been duped by Eden before. She was duped by Haz, really.
Well, then I don't want to do in the sake... Like, is that all... Like, I love Holly Highland. And I don't want her to keep, repeating the same storyline. Because like you just said there, like, it happened with Eden, which was a good one to start it all off. That was like the mystery sort of thing, which was good. Mm-hmm. Then there was the Haz thing where she liked him a lot more than he liked her, and in the end they called it a day. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do that again.
Yeah, but then she can have progression with this now. She can maybe see the warning signs this time around, and is she, you know, she could be the only one who puts him back in prison. She could see what's coming down and go, fuck.
Well, no one drops people in more shit than Holly Highland. So that'd be quite funny. That'd be funny, though. Like, that's funny that it had happened again. I don't know if that's funny is the same as good. If she keeps dropping people in shit. I also want better for her. I want to do something that isn't just, I need a boyfriend.
True, but
I don't think she is like that. I think she was at the start, and like that was the whole point with the Haz thing. It was she needs a boyfriend and she needs this and whatever. And then she kind of got out of that and went, I don't need you, I'm better than this. But now she's immediately going after another guy. I don't think she needs to. This is like a big brothery kind of thing. I want more for her.
True. But then sometimes, you know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. Like, she's got to
make... What does that mean? it's a well-known phrase, I know, but why are you using it now? What do you mean?
Because sometimes people just got to realise things for themselves.
Yeah.
And, well, like... I mean, how many times do you try and tell me stuff and I just don't ignore? But then I... Like, we always go back to that fucking intervention fucking in Greece. Like, you and Tim were telling me stuff, so I was blue in the face, but I needed to go away and kind of figure it out for myself with that ringing back in the back of my head.
Do you think you will anytime soon?
One day. It's almost there. It's almost there. So, obviously, because the cafe has been smashed up, Andy's like, fuck, I need to start doing some police procedural stuff here. I need to start rounding up the likely lads.
No one else is going to do it.
No one else is doing it because I'm the only fucking copper here. And I like as well, they did, again, just ring his mobile this week. Once the cafe was smashed up, they just fucking belled him.
Yeah.
And, and he's round. He did have someone from forensics there, though, which was quite nice.
Yeah, with a briefcase or something.
Yeah. So, yeah, he has to start doing the rounds and questioning people. And one of those people is Felix.
Got to ask him, he's on parole.
You're on parole. You've been done for robbery before. Got to ask you. So he does. He goes home and says, listen, mate, I've got to do this. And Felix, considering he's a criminal, should be better at hiding this, I think. He makes himself look so fucking guilty in the way he reacts here.
Well, I don't understand why he doesn't just say, I was doing this or I was doing that, instead of going, what? Are you asking me? I'm not telling you.
Yeah, you think I did it, don't you? This is how it is. I just fucking told you about what I always thought of me. Just go, yeah, I was at the park. It was at the night time. I was having a walk on my own.
And like you say, it's not his first day at being a criminal. He must have like done loads of little crimes, like and probably lied about them a lot. Not just gone, I'm not telling you, bye.
Exactly. He's not just done one crime and got caught. He's done many crimes and then got caught once.
I was expecting better from him, because as soon as somebody won't answer a question, you know that they either did it or they know something about it or they're guilty for something. And that's what Andy says. He's like, it's very obvious to Andy. He's like, so this is dodgy.
Yeah, exactly. Because he's his brother as well. He's just like, well, I know he's lying because he's being all defensive. So.
Yeah. But then what? Why doesn't he say, because he didn't do it. Because we know he didn't do it. Because we know he did do it. So, what was he doing? Why does he want to say what he was doing?
Because I think he was meeting Slade. I think that's why he's reluctant to say what he was doing, because he was planning the job.
Yeah, okay, so that's what I was thinking. But you don't have to say, I was meeting Slade at the park. You can just say, I was at the park.
Yeah, you don't. Yeah, you just
leave
say
out
I was at
the Slade bit and you're fine.
Yeah, exactly. And it's funny because he then goes back to Slade for advice. And Slade's like, well, and he's not the fucking brightest one, is he, Slade? He's just like, well, just deny it. They've got no evidence, so just fucking deny it. And he goes, yeah, that's a good idea. I'll just start denying it till I'm blue in the face.
And if you were, like, obviously they've got this idea, this scheme to rob the construction site, the building site, for the tools and everything. He puts out some calls and someone gets back to him that they'll buy the shit. Would you keep meeting the wanted criminal Slade at the scene of the crime that you are going to commit? Like, I mean, is that the place for that meeting? I know it was down a little alley, but still.
Yeah. It's like, he's not George Clooney in Ocean's 11, eh? He's not suave enough to start walking in the casino and going, I'm going to rob you, Andy Garcia. He's not that suave. And as well, when JJ shows up later, he's seconds away from seeing him with Slade. Yeah. Like, Slade makes no effort to get off quickly. He's like, get out. And he just leisurely walks off. JJ could see him at any point, and he knows exactly who he fucking is.
But then why is JJ allowed to walk on a building site?
Because it's near his school. Yeah, and there's not, no security.
Well, there should be, like, there don't have to be security, but there'd be, like, locked gates and people keeping an eye out. There's no other build. Nothing's ever going to, it's never going to get built. There's no fucking builders there. There's never any work being done. They don't have to keep meeting on a building site and having people going on a building site. Stop doing it.
Yeah, you could have them just meet at the park, couldn't you, or the lake?
Stupid.
So, yeah, the party's underway. Wendy's stressing. She's not bought the onions.
Nobody wants onions anyway. I don't...
Exactly. Sadie makes a very point. Who wants onions at a party?
Again, Sadie, speaking for the rest of us, like, what, of all the things to put as the thing that Wendy is stressed out about, why would it be onions? Maybe just so Sadie can go, well, nobody wants onions. You know, I think a little trick that I think they missed at the party, there was no interaction between Sadie and Byron this week at all. I don't want a big thing, but even if it was just
a little nod.
Little nod. Chatting in the background, maybe a little arm rub, a nice arm rub, not like the one Tony was doing, like something like that. We don't need it like hammering home, but you could have done that. You've got them all there.
Yeah.
Also, so Wendy's asking about with this. So, Mendy, are we talking about the Felix stuff, or are we talking about Mel turning up to this party?
We can have a little sojourn into this stuff.
Okay, cool. I love a sojourn. So, Mel turns up. Despite not being invited, Holly can come. Of course she can. She bought a new dress. She looks fucking fantastic. Brilliant. You are more than welcome. Mel's got a new dress by the looks of it. She looks great as well. However, she's got no business being at this party. Like, if you have not been invited to something, don't go. That is my, like, I think that's a good motto to have. If you've not been invited, that means nobody wants you there. Don't go to it. Especially when you've been a dick for however long Mel has and pissed everybody off. You've got to have some sort of, what do you call it,
self-awareness.
Self-awareness, yeah, exactly.
Listen, I've not been invited for a reason. Wendy and Therese are good mates. Yep. They're always around each other's gaff.
Andy and Toby are good mates.
Exactly, they're always around each other's gaff. So maybe, do you know what? I don't even know who this fucking Felix guy is. I don't particularly care. I'm never gonna have a scene with him.
No.
So
no reason. Her being there serves nothing. No reason. If you were a real person, you would go to that. Absolutely not. So she was a dick for going. So Wendy obviously goes full Wendy and chats shit, and then she goes, she's behind me, isn't she? And Sadie's like, well, yeah, of course, you're Wendy, I'm Sadie, and that's what's gonna happen. Which is great, because Wendy was very Wendy this week, which is always nice to see. But then Mel gets on a fucking high horse and says, look, whatever, I can't even remember what a reason was, but I just remember thinking, no, Mel, you should not be there. You were not invited.
Yeah, you can't.
It was obvious that you weren't here. Yeah, fuck off. And then for her to like storm off, go home, and then go. Again, she was saying, like, I've got my power now, and all this bollocks. No, you've been a dick again. And this is from someone who thought you were a dick, started thinking you were all right, and now you're being a dick again. I will always tell Mel when she's been a dick. I think she was the worst this week, and that's going with someone who might have an evil twin and split personalities, so come on.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing a little bit more conflict between Mel and Wendy if that plays out over a week or two. Like, a little bit of silly conflict over stuff, I'd be absolutely fine with that.
Okay.
I'd be okay with that. But I also really like that Holly was just like, oh, I'm so proud of you, Mel. Can I go and try and shag Felix again now?
Yeah, I'm not wasting this stress on you round the house.
Yeah. And she's straight back over there. She goes, are you okay? Brilliant. Back on mission. And yeah, she's back on the mission. Felix finally shows up. She makes a fucking beeline for the door, gets him a drink, and he's just like, oh, hello, you're the girl who bought me a coffee. That's a nice dress.
He owes her a drink now.
Yeah, straight away he knows what's up. He's like, oh, this party's taking a very welcome turn. But then Andy starts fucking doing his police work again. Never off the clock, this guy, unfortunately.
Didn't he look weird? Don't you think he looked weird in his civilian clothes?
I know, because usually, even when he is at his house, he's in his police gear anyway. Yeah. There's no point changing. Yeah, there's no point changing, so just wear your police stuff.
Because Wendy likes the uniform.
Yeah, she does, to be fair. I don't wear a uniform for work necessarily, but like white t-shirt and jeans. Like, I can't wait to get out of that when I get home.
Well, then, it's not a uniform, like you say, but you've been wearing it all day, and it does become a little bit synonymous with work.
Yeah, so it's part of the ritual for me is get home, you know, have a shower and put some different clothes on, and then I'm a different person. Then I'm not the work person.
You're explaining to this like every other person in the world doesn't do this as well. They get home from work, have a shower, and then change their clothes. Like, you've invented like getting home from work here. Then sometimes I will sit down, maybe eat something, and watch the television, and people are going to go, fucking hell, he's done what? He's onto something here. This could be a TED Talk. What to do during the day? Well done. You've just explained a job and being alive.
So, yeah, Andy looked weird in his civilian clothes.
He's in his civvies, but he's not, like you say, he's not off the clock. And this is like, on full show. I don't think he should have done this. This has happened before where he's talking about work, doing his job in front of a room full of people at a party. Like, he could have waited till the party was done to ask him this. It's going to be a few hours. People will go home, maybe catch Felix after the party or maybe in the morning and just ask him again. Because he's not at work now. He's not going to be at work again tomorrow. He is done. To do it straight, like, he's not good at his job sometimes.
Yeah, he's not chose wisely. And he does it in front of everyone. Like, if he'd have just gone, listen, because he says to Holly, can I just borrow Felix a minute?
Yep.
Just as Holly's getting in full swing. And, like, you take him off to a different room, right? You don't do it slap bang in the middle of the two rooms. And then Felix straight away starts getting defensive again. And she goes, oh, I just saw you all fucking know. He thinks I fucking smashed up Haz's place.
Yep.
Like, I like how Haz just goes, I'm getting out of here. And just fucking leaves.
Sneaks out the door.
Yeah, I love a good runaway. It is the best reaction to any situation. Just slinks off and gets the fuck out of there. And he's like, well, yeah, because you're not fucking telling me where you've been. Where were you in the night of question? Tell me it. And then you can see JJ in the background, and you know what's coming. And because he, bless him, just fucking bless him. He thinks he's doing something nice. And he goes, he was with me. Yeah. And I liked, Andy doesn't believe this for a second.
Well, no one ever would. This is like when, if I ever get the chance to speak to JJ, I'm going to have to ask JJ, like, because he is not a poker player. And it's nice, because, like you say, it is, like you say, bless him. Bless him sums up JJ, I think, because he's trying so hard. He idolizes first Andy, then Felix, and he wants to help, and he wants to be a part of it and do what he can. But no one believed him for a second because he's terrible at lying. Like when he stole the knife and he was like, hey, Bobby, I don't know. He was like, well, you've obviously taken the knife then, dickhead. Like, and this is the same thing. It's like, he was with me. No, he wasn't, because of exactly how you've said that. And he must know straight away. And I think that was a cliffhanger for the end of the week, right?
Yeah, that was the cliffhanger, yeah.
Within the first 30 seconds of next week, someone's going to pull JJ aside and go, no, he wasn't, was he? Like, it's going to happen.
I actually don't think they're going to pull him aside. I literally think the next scene we're going to get is Andy going, well, you fucking weren't, were you, dickhead? So why do you think you have to stick up for him?
What's the reason they would have? They were doing some boxing training or something. It's going to be that, isn't
JJ
it?
JJ thinks he's... Yeah, we're doing some boxing training.
It's going to be some sort of training, and he thinks he's helping, but he's probably... He might have saved the day for a little... for 20 minutes, and then it's going to all go wrong again.
Yeah, there's going to be a massive, obvious hole in the story.
Yeah.
And then Andy's going to go, listen, JJ, you sure you want to stick with this story? And he's going to go, yeah, that's what happened. And Andy's just going to go, well, you're a dickhead, because you're obviously lying. So that makes me now even more suspicious.
Yeah. Do you think by the end of next week we'll have the robbery, the Slade and Felix robbery of the stuff? I think by the end of next week, we will have had that robbery and also the repercussions of that robbery. I think by the end of next week, we'll be in a completely different, I don't know, space with all this storyline.
Yeah, I think so as well. Do you think we'll be any closer with the Haz stuff as well?
I think the Haz one is the current one that will go on a little bit longer. But I think, this one will be, I think Slade will unfortunately be either... Well, I say unfortunately, he'll either be unfortunately apprehended and put in prison, which I do think will happen, or he will ride off into the sunset, which I hope happens for more adventures to come in the future. That is what I'm hoping.
Yeah, I hope he makes a big score on this.
I hope he does. I hope he escapes, and then we just see him. You know, like at the end of Shawshank Redemption when he's on the beach and he's like got away and he's just doing some scuba diving or renovating a fishing boat. I hope that's what we see. I hope we don't see Slade carrying the can for everything and getting put away, and Felix kind of escaping and getting away with it, and Slade being the scapegoat.
Yeah, I'd love that. Ran, swap beach for car park and him just doing donuts around it in a car.
Yeah, that'd be good. I'd take that.
Yeah, I want that ending for Slade. But not for Felix. He deserves to go back to prison.
Yeah, he's only been out and he's scamming everyone. Fuck that. That is the endings we want. This is the ending we've got for ourselves for this week.
It is, yeah. I'm not going to drag it out.
Good.
So, yeah. I'm hoping for more possibilities. I am now dragging this out.
I don't know why you do it. I've said this is the ending, and you've said I'm not going to drag out and then start chatting more shit. There's no reason.
All right, Adam, I'm going to give you the ending you want. Goodbye, everybody.
Loved it.